hang on before y'all go somewhere. Can we do that one more time? Or maybe two more times? And what we want to do tonight is, if you really believe that, can't nobody do you like Jesus. If you know that can't nobody do you like Jesus, and if you found out for yourself that can't nobody do you like Jesus, want to give him some high praise in the house tonight. Because he's worthy of it. There's nobody like our God. Can't nobody. Come on, sing it to him right now. Can't nobody. Come on, if he's ever been your healer, give him some praise right now. I wish somebody that knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God touched you and healed your body would just step out and give God a little praise in the house for it. Just one more time, can't nobody. Come on, let's sing that in praise to him. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And if you really believe that, go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you guys very much for your help. I appreciate it. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord tonight on a Wednesday night. Stephen's already talked about the small groups going on around the city. You want to be sure to continue to be in prayer for that. We've got nets across this city that are being cast that can be filled. And instead of just having this one place here on Wednesday nights, now we have 4 and 5, counting the college career group over here, 5 nets that are going out. Excited about what God's doing. We know that our pastor hasn't made this decision lightly, but he's done it under much thought and much prayer. We know this is the will of God for us at this time. So you just want to be in prayer with us about that. I also want to encourage this group that's here tonight. This is a small group as well. And I want to encourage you every Wednesday night, as many as you can, please be in the house of God. Every time the doors are open, please be in the house of God. I think God can do some great things with this group of people that's right here. I think God can do some great things in Hoover with that group. God can do some great things in McCalla with that group. And there's one I was missing. Where are they at? Hayden. God can do some great things in Hayden, too. Way out in the sticks of Hayden. But God can do some great things. And God can do some great things in the college career group over here and raise up mighty young men and women of valor. And just excited about what can happen. What can happen. We can be praying people through to the Holy Ghost here in this house. They can be praying people through all over the city at the same time. The presence of God, the power of God. It's not confined to this local sanctuary or tabernacle, but it dwells in each one of us, and everywhere we go, we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God and just excited about what God's doing. So again, just want to encourage you, please be in the house on Wednesday nights. Understand sometimes things come up, work late, people get sick, different things, but want to encourage you as much as you can, make it to the house of God. Make it here on Wednesday nights. I think God's going to grow this group too, and he's got some special things in store for everybody that's here tonight in addition to those groups that are going on out there. If you have your Bibles tonight, you want to turn to Genesis chapter 25. We're We're going to start reading in verse 19. You have to bear with me tonight. I've had a little bit of a scratchy throat the last few days, so. But God's good and He's in the house. I'm excited. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there in the midst of them. So thankful for that. Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. I'm going to go back and look at verse 22 for a second. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" Why don't you say that with me tonight? If it be so, why am I thus? By the help of the Holy Ghost tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes under the thought or subject, pregnant with a promise. Pregnant with a promise. Why don't you put your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven. Let's ask God to help us here tonight. Mighty God, we love you. We praise you, God. We thank you for your presence that's here in this house. Thank you for visiting with us here tonight, oh God. Just thank you for what's going on in this city, God. Thank you for the revival that's coming, that we know is coming. God, pray that you would just take this next few minutes, God. Take this service, God. Cause it to be anointed, God. Let your will be done, God. God, anoint these lips of clay. God, cause them to speak forth your words, God. This is your word. Help me to speak forth it as you have given it to me, God. And pray that you would anoint every ear to hear, God. Every heart to receive the word, God. And we ask it all in the name that is above every name, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, why don't somebody just give him some praise right now? If you're thankful for his word that's forever settled in the heavens. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated if you want to. As a man, I don't begin to understand, nor do I pretend tonight to understand what it's like to be pregnant. Don't want to know. And my wife's probably getting a little nervous right now because she has no idea where I'm going with this. But it's okay, I'm nervous too. But I want to talk to you, if I could, tonight for a little bit. I want to talk to you about just the stages of pregnancy. And I'm not talking in medical terms. First trimester, second trimester, all the fancy talk, fancy language. Not going to take you week by week as the baby progresses, but just some things that I've observed and just some things from my point of view, my perception for this study we're going through tonight. First stage I want to talk to you about is the joy and the excitement of finding out that you're pregnant. First thing you want to do is just get on the phone and call everybody you know and just tell them all about it. Back in the old days, which was just a couple years ago, you'd pick up the phone, you'd call somebody, let them know, okay, I got to go, click and call, dial, call somebody else. Today, you can go out there and post it on Facebook, tweet it on Twitter, take a little picture of the pregnancy test, post it on Instagram, mass text all the people in your cell phone contacts, and in a matter of minutes, as many people as you know can find out about you being pregnant at the same time. The advances of modern technology. But you got joy, you've got excitement. You know something's coming down the road. And you've got that excitement about you. You know that you're expecting something that's going to come later on in your life. And there's all kinds of excitement. Like I said, you go tell everybody. You want to share the news with everybody. There's a certain glow about pregnant women, even when they first become pregnant. And some women can look at other women when they haven't even told anybody. And they can just walk up to them and say, "You're pregnant, aren't you?" They know. They can tell. They see the signs of it. But they're excited about it. And as men, you know, when my wife told me she was pregnant, my response was, "Cool. That's pretty cool." Just a laid-back kind of guy. Don't show a lot of emotion. Don't get too excited. But she's extremely excited. She couldn't stop smiling. She's happy. You know, and I was happy too, and I was smiling. But she's really excited. Something about a woman being pregnant. Something about that promise from God. Then, of course, you go on into the other stages of pregnancy, and next thing you know, morning sickness hits. All of a sudden, you're not as excited anymore. There's not as much joy anymore. Now you're just hoping the next meal that you eat won't come up. And sometimes you just kind of wish you were dead instead of being pregnant. So there's not as much excitement going on during that period, during the morning sickness that's going on, the queasiness of it. And I've even heard, I don't mean to be gross tonight, but I've even heard some of the women talk about they plan what they eat based on the way it will taste coming up. Didn't mean to get too graphic, but it was humorous, so I had to share. Makes sense to me, I guess. So we've got different stages. So you move from excitement into morning sickness, and all of a sudden, you know, you might lose a little bit of the excitement, but it returns. You start to feel the baby move with inside of you, and you get excited, and you think, if I can just hold on for just a little bit longer, this feeling will pass. You begin to start feeling the baby move around, and just the butterflies, and then you start to actually, the baby starts to grow, and you begin to be able to see the baby, and you begin to show that you're pregnant. And now more people know, people that didn't know before. Now they can tell. You'll be out, strangers. It's a funny thing that you just watch. Strangers will walk up and put their hands on a pregnant woman's belly, and it's, I don't quite understand how they would even think that that's appropriate, but they do it all the time. And I look around, we've got the cashier at Academy that just recently found out she's pregnant. She's a young girl. She started the show, and I'll be walking down the front end. I'll see one of the other cashiers over there with her hands on her belly, and I'm just looking, and it's kind of a funny thing to behold. You never know what's going on, but they begin to show, and people begin to see that they're expecting, and they can tell that something's coming. They can tell that they're about to have, and inevitably, if they begin to ask, a boy or girl, and you know, there might not be at the time where they know yet. So the excitement returns, and there's still some joy there. And then you find out what you're going to have. Find out whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And to me, the ultrasound thing is just an amazing piece of machinery. To be able to see the baby in the womb and be able to tell whether it's a boy or a girl. It's an amazing piece of technology. So you begin to find out what you're having. And then you start planning for what you're having. Then you start pricing things. Start looking at redecorating rooms and painting walls and buying furniture and buying bedding and all kinds of stuff that goes into preparing for having a child. Then a little bit of the discomfort comes on daddy's side as that begins to take place. Counting up the cost, seeing how much, oh, wow, okay. But now it's a joyous time, and you begin to prepare for the baby, you begin to plan for it, you begin to make room for it. And you begin to get things ready, things in order, you buy stuff, you go through it. And you get all excited again, and then you get closer to the end of the pregnancy. And all of a sudden now the discomfort becomes a little bit more, you're showing more. You're not walking the same way you used to walk. You can't quite bend down to grab something that you dropped. And I'm not making fun of you ladies. I really, really am not. But just it makes you walk differently. It makes you look at things differently. It makes you aware of a lot more things. So you begin to show, and then you begin to have the discomfort. You can't sleep at night. You can't get comfortable. You're in a lot of pain. As the baby's moving, he's getting bigger, and he's moving harder, or she's moving harder and kicking you harder, and just a lot of things going on within your body getting ready for the baby to come. So a lot of discomfort comes. And then some ladies have false labor, and they go in after they have contractions before it's time for the baby to come. And so you're there, you think it's there, you think it's time, you think it's ready. But no, it's just false labor, and you know, you just contractions, they send you home, they check you out, send you home, say, no, it's just false labor, it's not time yet. And then finally the day arises, the day comes where you finally go into labor. And then the contractions get closer and closer together. The pain gets closer and closer together. The discomfort gets closer and closer together. And you get ready for the baby to come, and some women are in labor for hours and hours, you hear. Some ladies just, you know, just a couple minutes, and those lucky ladies, a couple minutes and everything's done. But some ladies are in labor for hours, and they're trying to deliver what God has given them, the miracle that God has placed inside of them, because children are a miraculous thing. And so you're trying to deliver the miracle that God has placed inside of you. And then when you hold that baby in your arms, all of a sudden all the discomfort's gone, all the pain's gone. You can't think about it anymore. You don't remember it. And it was all worth everything. It's worth everything that you went through when you're holding your precious little baby in your arms. Rebecca was carrying her promise. As we read in our text, she was experiencing discomfort. Isaac was 40 when they were married, the Bible says, and he was 60 when she had Esau and Jacob. Rebecca had to wait 20 years for her promise. And then finally, she's got her promise. She's pregnant. She's with child. She's expecting a child, and she's so happy she can't contain it. But then all of a sudden, those babies begin to wrestle inside of her, war inside of her. And she can't believe the pain she's going through, the discomfort she's going through. And she tells God, God, if this be so, God, if this is a promise from you, God, if this is a miracle from you, why do I feel the way that I feel? Let's read in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Tyler, if you'd help me out. We're going to read about another promised baby from God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. Everybody say 75. When he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. The story of Abraham and Sarah is a very common story. It's taught in Sunday schools. We read here tonight the beginning of the promise of Abraham, the first time that God lays his promise on him. And God appears unto him and says, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now, that language lets me know, or lets everybody know, let Abraham know that he's talking about his children. To thy seed will I give this land. At that point, Abraham and Sarah did not have any children. He's 75 years old when God first promises him that his seed is going to be blessed. And let's look at Genesis chapter 21. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 25 years after God first made his promise to Abraham that his seed would be blessed, Isaac is born. Now, in the midst of this, we could read through these chapters that are in between chapter 12 and chapter 21, and we can read where Abraham goes into Hagar at the bidding of Sarah, his wife, and has a child of Hagar named Ishmael. And Abraham, actually, when he had Ishmael, was 86 years old. So he waited for a little while, and then Sarah told him to go into Hagar. They were old, they were stricken with age, and didn't look like in the natural they could fulfill the promise of God. But 25 years later, the promise is actually born, or 14 years after he has Ishmael, the promise is born. And God meets Abraham again throughout these scriptures, throughout these chapters. God meets Abraham from time to time and tells him, he rehearses the blessing to him and says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Abraham, your seed's going to be blessed. And at one point, Abraham says, God, I'm old. Sarah's old. God, let Ishmael live before you. And God tells him, I'm going to bless Ishmael, but I've got a promise for you that's coming. Ishmael's not the promise. Abraham, you made that yourself. That's not the promise that I've got for you. Then finally, God actually appears unto Abraham when he's 99. The Bible says, where we just read, that God, at the set time God has spoken to him, Sarah had Isaac. All along the way, Abraham had no idea when the promise was coming. He knew he had a promise from God, but he didn't have a time frame or a timetable to know when the promise was coming. And he goes through a lot of things in these chapters, in these 25 years, to get to where he's at. And he's still a just man in God's eyes. He's still got the promise of God with him. He fails God a few times along the way, but he gets back up and he keeps walking with him, and God still has the promise with him. But he gave him the set time when he was 99. How easy would it have been when God first spoke to him and let him know? Because God knew the time. God knew exactly when Isaac would be born. How easy would it have been for God to go ahead and tell Abraham, Abraham, in 25 years, you're going to have your promised child. But God let him walk by faith and let him walk with him by faith, so that he would believe God for it to come. And God keeps reminding him, God's faithful to him, and God keeps meeting with him and reminding him that the promised child is going to come. Tyler, if you could give me Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Doing all right tonight? We're going to talk about another miracle birth. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Mary was carrying the Messiah, the greatest promise of all. But just like All the ladies tonight here that have children, she went through all the same discomforts of pregnancy that you've gone through. She had to carry the child for 9 months. It's the promised child, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior. But yet she still had to go through all the stages of pregnancy. She had to go through the discomfort. She may have had morning sickness. Just all the things that are involved with that she had to go through. She had to carry the promised child for 9 months. Now, the point I've been trying to get to tonight is we're talking about being pregnant with a promise. And so I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about the stages of promise. Promise is conceived in you. It's during a moment of prayer or in the moment of worship or sometime when you're alone with God or you're in prayer here at church and somebody comes, lays their hands on you and gives you a prophetic word or God just speaks into your spirit. And a promise is conceived into you. Same thing happens. First stage, joy, excitement. There's a glow on your face about it. You're excited because you've got a word from God and everything's going to be all right. Well, then the excitement wears off. Day-to-day living comes in and discomfort sets in when you haven't received the promise in your time frame. It would be easier, just like Abraham, if God told us right away, I'm going to give you this and this is exactly when I'm going to give it to you. But he doesn't work that way. He wants us to walk by faith and he wants us to trust him. And he wants us to have faith in him. There's no set time for being pregnant with a promise like there is just being pregnant. Like Rebecca, sometimes you ask God, if it be so, why am I thus? God, if this is a promise from you, God, if you're really going to bring this to pass, why am I going through so much pain? Why am I going through so much agony? Why am I going through so much discomfort? God, why is everything falling apart around me? Preparing for the promise can start to cost you some things. It can cost you friends. It can cost you family. Cost you things that you hold dear to your heart. Then you begin to get excited again as you get glimpses of the promise in your life. God drops handfuls of purpose for you and lets you know, hey, I'm still here. He meets with you again. He gives you a promise again in another word or another utterance. Or he just kind of lays a little bit of it out for you. So you can kind of see that it's still there, that he still knows exactly where you're at. And then just like pregnancy, you go into labor. The closer you get to the promise, the more the discomfort comes. The closer you get to giving birth to your promise, the more pain you go through, the more sorrow you go through, the more ridicule you might go through. Just things that are going on in your life that you don't understand what's happening. You don't understand what's going on. God, if it be so, why am I thus? And you're going into labor with your promise. Things are getting like contractions in the spirit. The spirit world is fighting against you and they're coming against you so much more because they know exactly what's about to take place in your life. Promise is going to make you walk differently. It's going to make you talk differently. You're not going to go the same places you used to go. You're not going to walk the same way you used to walk. You're not going to talk the same way you used to talk. Then finally the delivery day comes. And you get to hold your promise. You finally get to see what God has promised in your life, what he's breathed into your life come to pass. And the excitement that comes as you finally get to see your promise and look it face to face. And you get to rejoice in the promise of God. But God doesn't have a set timetable. You can be with promise for a year. Be with promise for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 25 years. God doesn't have a set time frame for promise. But he will bring it to pass if he has said it. And this church as a whole has been promised some things. We've had some words go forth from this pulpit. Men come in and under the power and the anointing of God begin to speak things into this church. Things that have yet to happen. And this church is pregnant with promise. Some of these things haven't come to pass, but they're getting closer. We're feeling in the spirit. We're feeling contractions. We're feeling pain or feeling discomfort. You're wondering what's going on in your life. What's happening to you? Why does things seem to be falling apart and every day something else seems to be going wrong? Well, you're feeling the contractions of the Spirit. There's some families and individuals in this church that God has promised you some things. God spoke to you some things. He's given you some things. He's given you visions. He's given you dreams. He's given you promises, but yet you haven't seen them come to pass yet. And you're wondering, will those come to pass? Will this really happen? Just like Abraham. God, can this really happen? God, I'm old. Or whatever the excuse may be. God, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. God, I don't see this coming to place because of this is happening in my life, or that's happening in my life, or it doesn't look like this is ever going to come to pass. It doesn't look like this is ever going to come to fruition. But you're pregnant with a promise. You can't give up. You've got to keep pressing on. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight in the Holy Ghost, get that promise off the shelf. Dust it off. Don't forget the promise of God. Don't forget those words that God has spoken to you. Don't forget what he's spoken to your family. Don't forget to what he's spoken into your life. He will bring it to pass. You're pregnant with a promise. You're going to go through some things. You're going to fight some battles. The pain's going to get worse. The discomfort's going to get worse. But just when you feel like giving up, God's going to come through. And God's going to deliver you. And God's going to birth your promise. Let's give him a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you've got a promise from God, don't give up. Don't give up. Can't think of, as I was getting ready for this message and just preparing my notes and going through some things and started thinking about different people in the church that are no longer here, different people that had promise, that I know had promises from God. But for some reason or another, they turned around and they walked out on God. And again, forgive the language, but how many promises have been aborted because people just gave up? They might have been just right there at the verge of giving birth to their promise. Might have been right at the cusp of it, about to hold it in their hands. But the pain got too much. The discomfort got too much. The pressures of life got to them. Whatever the case may be, they turned around and they walked out on God. Turned around and walked away from the promise of God. And as a result, they aborted their promise. So I'm here to encourage some people tonight. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I know the pain is great. I know it seems like it's impossible to get through. But don't give up. You're pregnant with a promise. And you will be delivered. God will set you free. God will deliver you. He will bring it to pass. Come on, don't give up. We've got some promises in this house that don't need to be aborted. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because I'm here to tell you it's going to be worth it all. If you can just hold on, it's going to be worth everything. Everything you've been through. Every pain, every trial, every discomfort. People talking about you. It's going to be worth it when you hold your promise in your hands. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And musicians, you can come. I'm getting ready to bring this thing to a close. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Tyler, if you could get me real quick, Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You guys have the NIV, the ability to put the NIV up there, right? Give me the NIV version. Translation here. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. If he said it, it's going to happen. He's not going to change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Answer to those questions are no. If he makes a promise, he's going to bring it to pass. If he says a word, it's going to come to pass. If he speaks into your life, it's going to happen. I can't tell you if it's going to be a year from now. I can't tell you if it's 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20. I don't know. Could be tomorrow. I honestly don't know. But I do know this, that if God said it, it's going to happen. If God spoke it into your life, it's going to come to pass. As long as you keep up your end of the bargain, you've got to walk by faith. You got to keep walking, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep showing up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Doesn't matter who else is going to be here. I'm going to be in the house of God. There could have been two people here tonight, and I still would have been preaching this same message. Because this city, this church, is pregnant with promise. There's some promises in this city that have yet to come to pass. Some things that have been spoken years and years ago. A lot of them before any of us were even born. Some of us don't even know what they are. But there's some people here that were a part of some churches, part of some bodies, part of some things that were going on. And God spoke some promises into this city. And they have yet to come to pass. But I'm telling you, we're pregnant with promise. And it's going to come to pass. God has spoken it. And he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't leave a promise unfulfilled. So tonight, if you've got a promise, if you've got something God has spoken into your life, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has spoken it. Some of you may have even forgotten what it was until I started preaching this message and God brought it back to your mind. And you have asked yourself, is this ever going to come to pass? Just like Rebecca, you've said, God, if I've got a promise from you, why am I going through what I'm going through? Why all the pressure? Why all the strife? Why all the pain? And the answer is simple. It's because you're pregnant with a promise. I don't know any pregnancies that have happened where there wasn't pain. There wasn't discomfort. There wasn't some hurting going on. And a promise is not going to be born unless you go through the pain. Promise is not going to be born unless you go through the discomfort. Because if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth having. But you've got a promise from God. We used to sing a song that said, there's a promise coming down that dusty road. And it was talking about Jesus, but I'm here to tell some people tonight, you've got a promise coming down your life. You've got a promise coming down the road of your life. I really wish I could come to you and just tell you it's going to be at this time and this time and this time, but I can't. But I can tell you that it will come to pass. It's spoken by God as long as you keep walking for him, keep living for him. Keep serving him. Keep doing what you're doing. It's going to come to pass. Let's all stand tonight. And I think we've got enough room for everybody to come down around the altar. I know I'm speaking to individuals here tonight. I know I'm speaking to families. And I know I'm speaking to this church body as a whole. I'm speaking to this city. God's about to do some things. He's about to unleash some promises. Some people are about to give birth to their promises. But what I want you to do tonight, I want you to take that promise out, whatever it was that God gave you, whatever he's spoken to you. I want you to get that in your mind. And I want you to let God know, whatever it takes, God, I am going to see this promise come to birth. I am going to see the birth of this promise in my life. I'm going to see the birth of this promise in my family. God, we're going to see the birth of the promise in this church. God, we're going to see the birth of the promise in this city. Come on, I know the pain's been great, but I need some people to make up their mind tonight. Doesn't matter how bad it's going to get. It doesn't matter what's going to come my way. It doesn't matter what I'm going to face. I'm not going to give up
on the promise of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to lift up their voice tonight and cry with a loud voice. Come on, when you're pregnant and you begin to travail, it's not a quiet thing. Come on, somebody needs to cry out to God tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, bring it to pass just like you said in your word. God, bring it to pass just like you've spoken into their lives. God, bring it to pass just like you've spoken into this city. God, bring it to pass just like you've spoken to this church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, if you believe he's able, sing it with him tonight. He's able to do what he says he's going to do. He's not a man that he should lie, but he's going to bring forth his promise in your life. Hallelujah. Don't give up on God. Come on, take somebody by the hand in this altar. Begin to give God some praise and some worship.